The Lord be with you.
And
read it from the Holy Gospel according to John. Jesus said to Nicodemus, "No one has gone up to heaven except the one who has come down from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the desert, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, so that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him might not perish, but might have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him." The Gospel of the Lord. One of the many sayings of St. Ignatius of Loyola is the following: if some enterprise comes from God, then there must be the cross that's present in that enterprise. Now that should be consoling. So if you're working for the Lord, whatever capacity, if there's no cross involved in that, that's very suspect. Very suspect. Okay, story in the life of John Bosco. St. John Bosco, most of you know, was instrumental in working with young people, especially boys. And he lived in the 19th century, during what was called the Industrial Revolution, which started in England and then eventually moved into other parts of Europe. And because of the Industrial Revolution, you had people that were moving from the country into cities. They were being displaced. So there was a real upheaval in society. So there were a lot of teenage boys who were basically living in the streets, kind of like gang members today. So Bosco was inspired by the Holy Spirit to set up what was called the Oratorio, the oratory, which he was receiving these boys into the house. Now Bosco was basically brought up and raised just by his mother. And he invited his mother to come to help him out in the oratory. So the mother would cook and clean and do a lot of very useful tasks that would help out her son. So on one occasion, the boys were so unruly that she decided to return to Betsy, where she lived. So she had her luggage ready, and she was about to leave, and she said, "Giovanni, come here. I can't put up with these kids anymore." And what he did was, he took her by the arm, and this is what he did. He just pointed to the cross, and she dropped her bags and she stayed there until basically she died. He didn't say anything, but rather he pointed to the cross. And just by looking at the cross was there on the wall, that was enough for Mama Margarita to have the grace sufficient to accept the cross of these unruly boys that were received out of great love by John Bosco. Now, Two more ideas. Number one is, why did Jesus suffer and die on the cross? And then I'd like to talk a little bit about our crosses. A little bit of theology. Okay, the sin of Adam and Eve and our sins, they have to be repaired. And even the most holy people in the world, dying the most excruciating deaths until the end of time, would not be sufficient to repair for sin. Only the God-man could possibly repair for sin. Because every sin, even though it might be a little white lie, is an infinite offense against God, even the smallest sin. That we're learning in the exercises. Even the smallest sin. So if these 6 billion people were crucified and died on the cross today, that would be not sufficient to expiate for one white lie. Okay, let's flip the coin now. Jesus Christ being God and man, the smallest action of Jesus Christ would have been sufficient to save the whole world a billion times over. You hear that? So Jesus picking up a splinter on the carpenter shop, just picking that up, would have been enough to save the whole world billions of times. Because every action of Christ is called in theology a theandric action. Every action of Christ has infinite value. Okay, then, why? That's the case. Why did he choose that? The worst of all deaths. And we're going to be learning it in the exercises in about 3 weeks, 4 weeks. And the reason is one word, love. Love. Love for all of humanity, but love for every one of you. Now, if that doesn't move you, nothing's going to move you. For me as a Christian, a Catholic, a religious, and a priest, that's what moves me most. I don't know about you. The fact that Jesus suffered that for Father Broome, that brings me to tears. And he would have suffered that another million times just for my salvation. How important I am. How important you are for God. If we understand that, our whole Catholic faith is going to change. Because we have to go from legalism to the heart. Nothing wrong with laws. Nothing wrong with that. Because Jesus says, if you love me, keep my commandments. But we have to go from the laws that God gives us to the very heart of Christ. And the heart of Christ is the most eloquent symbol of love. Okay, now let's end with, what about your cross? I think half of the battle in this last idea in my homily is all of us have to humbly, sincerely recognize that we all have crosses to carry. And if we don't really admit that, we're going to be losing a lot of grace. There's a beautiful passage in St. Faustina with three men carrying a cross. One man rejects the cross. Another one is carrying it begrudgingly, kind of just dragging it. The other one embraces the cross, and just with a lot of desire and goodwill, he carries the cross. Now, which one are we? Probably depends on the day, right? Sometimes we simply don't want to carry the cross. Other days we begrudgingly, and we use the word in English, begrudgingly, with resistance, we don't really want to carry. Then on those good days, when the wind is in our sail, well, Lord, I'm ready to carry the cross. We should all be aiming at number three. I certainly haven't arrived at that. Sometimes I think that I'm maybe more one and two than number three. But I know, at least theologically, I should be aiming. I should be aiming at being willing to carry the cross that God has given to us. Many years ago, we had Alice von Hildebrand come to our parish before most of you, probably about 20 years ago, when we had the old church. You've heard of Alice von Hildebrand, right? And one of the things she said, she talked about the cross and said this: the saints, you read the lives of the saints, one thing you reckon is that they have tons of crosses, many more than us. But the saints are filled with joy and peace and strength. And even though they've got all these crosses, they're carrying out a lot of wonderful apostolic works for the Lord. So why is it that the saints have more and heavier crosses than us, and we have small crosses, and we're like the first reading, we're always complaining. We suffer from complainitis. There we go, right? And she said this. It's basically what I said about St. Faustina, is that the saints recognize their cross and they try to accept it. And they grip it and they just beg Jesus and Mary to help them to carry the cross. You understand? Very important. Very important. So even though this is for me it's a hard day liturgically, because it's really hard to look up at Jesus on the cross and to think about the blood that he shed for us. But the church wants us to think about this, not just on Good Friday or just in Lent, in the very middle of ordinary time. The church wants us to renew our contemplation of Jesus on the cross. And to make a long story short, it's this, is that Jesus died on the cross because he loves you. And he's asking you, can you help him to carry at least a little splinter of the cross? At least a splinter. Sometimes we don't even want to carry the splinter. But if we recognize how much he suffered for us, then we can say, yes, Lord. Whatever you give, I'll accept. So I'd like to end with a prayer that's become one of the most famous prayers in honor of the cross, that was prayed by St. Francis, who had the stigmata. This is the prayer that all of you know. This is the prayer you should be repeating time and time again today. And it's this: we adore you, Christ, and we bless you, because by your holy cross, you have redeemed the world. Amen.